Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it!
Hi, Chihuahua!
Holy schnauzers!
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Bobby Miller threw a simulated game at Dodger Stadium. We got an update and what's next for Miller. Also, an insider says that the Blue Jays are open to trading shortstop Bo Bichette should the Dodgers pursue Bo. We got some three up, three down. We're taking your questions. We got a minor leaguer that could have an impact for the Dodgers this season. We're going to talk about all that more coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam! It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. Now, if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor. Join the party and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. If you really want to support the channel, hit that like button and comment Goat Tani down below so you're eligible for our next giveaway that comes at 95,000 subscribers. We're getting closer. We're getting close to 92,000 and close to 95,000. Soon we get to 95K. We're giving away this authentic Dodgers road gray Shohei Ohtani number 17 Dodgers jersey. And it's the easiest thing to win this thing. You just have to do two things. Be subscribed to the channel and comment Goat Tani down below. It's also better if you have the notifications on. That way, you know, anytime we drop a video, then you can comment more and you increase your chances. So be sure to do that. And just a reminder, too, that today's episode of Dodgers Dugout Live is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEA. For your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. But we've got a jam-packed show. This is Dodgers Dugout Live. Everything you need to know about your Los Angeles Dodgers in less than an hour. And every show kicks off with our Dodgers Nation, Dodgers Dugout Live poll question of the show. We asked you guys over on the X, should the Dodgers pursue a trade for Bo Bichette? Mark Feinsand, MLB Insider, said that the Blue Jays could move him this summer. We'll dive into that in a second. But right now, 60...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
1% of you say yes, while 39% of you say no. Of course, drop all your comments, all of your fire takes. And we got our super producer, Antonio. Tony Tater's over there looking for all your fire takes. Any super chats, we have them featured on the screen. Any comments of the show, you're going to see one of these.
You win. Perfect.
So fire away on all your takes. I got some takes over on YouTube. I want to read. Got some cool ones over here. We got, this is from Andreas Diaz 65. He said, go Tani. I live in Utah and my wife and I went to the Otani bobblehead night. As I was going up the escalators, we knuckled when you were coming down. I said, D-Mac. You responded with, what's up, my man? Classic D-Mac. Keep him coming. So shout out to Andreas. Shout out to meeting some of you guys at Dodger Stadium. It's always fun because you guys know your team better than anyone does. So it's always great to talk ball with you. We got Dog WTR, a super chat $5.99. Thank you for that. You got D-Mac. What is your obsession with Bo Bichette? He's an even worse defender than Mookie. Pin that one because I'm going to address that when we dive into that topic. I wouldn't call it obsession, but it's getting close to it. Okay. So we got the Zeus. I mean, we have the stock and prospects to land Bo Bichette and still get Mason Miller. Why not just get both really quick? I'm going to get my t-shirt made. Parades over prospects. You know, that's how we say things. That's one of the big mantras here on the Dodgers Dugout Live podcast show, YouTube, number one Dodgers show on YouTube. We know we like to say that, but you definitely want to have some sustainability. But you're right. They do have the prospect capital to get it done. Orlando needs some more post-game live streams. We're going to be doing more post-games. We're going to do one today. I've been at the game pretty frequently, and I was at the game yesterday, and that's the leadoff. We're going to start that today with our leadoff. And yesterday at Dodgers Stadium, everyone was there extra early because Bobby Miller was on the mound at Dodgers Stadium throwing a simulated game. He threw to Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux, Miguel Vargas, and also Juan Alonso, one of the Dodgers outfield prospects, and he looked good. Some of these StatCast measurements that they were using up in the press box were saying 95, 97. They're measuring the spin rates. And Doc said after, I think it was what you'd expect the first time out. The command of his pitches wasn't going to be there, but the exercise of getting him up and down three times was accomplished. So that was the most important thing. It wasn't about him going out there and punching out Gavin Lux and Chris Taylor, Miguel Vargas, or Juan Alonso. It was about the up-downs, right? It was about getting him back into the groove, getting him back into the swing of things, making sure he bounces back today and feels healthy and is ready to go for his rehab starts. But there were some moments that I found really interesting. He gave up a home run to Chris Taylor. CT3 hit one over the wall and left. Some of you guys were tweeting me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Is it a bad thing for Bobby Miller? Is it a good thing for Chris Taylor? Look, it's a simulated game. It's just about getting the reps, getting the routine back, and just getting healthy. That is the number one thing about yesterday. And he looked comfortable. He looked confident. He looked like he was embracing the process. He wasn't made available to the media after it, so we didn't get a chance to ask him any questions. But if you look at the next step for Bobby Miller is this Sunday, he's going to be in Rancho Cucamonga pitching for the Low A Quakes, and he has a rehab start scheduled. So he's been out for 6 weeks with the shoulder inflammation. He hasn't pitched since April 10th. And they think that this was precautionary, that they were being safe about this. Doesn't seem like it's serious, but he has missed a pretty good chunk of time at this point. And he's going to make a couple of rehab starts at the very minimum. The question is, does he make two rehab starts? Does he make three rehab starts? Because if he makes two rehab starts, you could potentially see him back in early June when the Dodgers take on the Yankees in New York. Or if he needs additional time and he needs more rehab starts, maybe you see him when the Dodgers get back and they take on the Rangers. So one of those two series, if everything goes well, is when you're going to see him back out there on the mound. I would love to see him back for that Yankees series. It's a lot because they're a really good team. It's on the road, not really a soft landing there. But if you remember, that was kind of one of his coming out party games last season, was that Sunday night game, that Sunday night baseball game against the Yankees. So we all know that Bobby Miller is big time. He loves the big stage. He went into Atlanta in his first start, and he performed well. So hopefully, from a strength standpoint, everything goes right, and he's going to be just fine, and you're going to see someone come back and have an impact on this team. Because, look, Gavin Stone's really good. He's had his moments, but we were debating whether or not Bobby Miller should have been the game one starter in the NLDS. That's how quickly his stock went up last season. That's the potential that he has. This is an all-star caliber pitcher. This is someone who has the kind of stuff that for a full healthy season, if he gets between 25 and 30 plus starts, could vie for a Cy Young one day. I mean, talking about triple digit heat, someone who commands so many pitches that really can stifle big league hitters. The changeup, the slider, the curveball. I mean, it's not just the velocity. Really, the changeup is his most effective pitch when he's right. So that's the latest on Bobby Miller. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about yesterday's game. And the Dodgers lose 7-3. And you might not realize this, but yes, the Dodgers, they're still cruising. They're not worried about the division at this point. They're not worried about the San Diego Padres behind them. But look, this team, they want to finish with the best record. I don't care what they say. You want home field advantage throughout the postseason. Everyone says, no, give me 80-something wins and we're going to be that gritty team. No. Because once you get out of that NLDS and you're into a seven-game series, that's when depth shows itself in the postseason. And you want to get that and you want to have home field advantage. And the Dodgers lose yesterday by a final score of 7-3. Their record drops to 33-18. They're still 8 games up of the San Diego Padres in the division. But remember, we're not thinking about the Padres. We're thinking about the best record in the sport, and they're chasing the Philadelphia Phillies. The Dodgers are behind the Phillies, the Yankees, and Guardians for best record. They're 3 games back of the Phillies, and they went on a great stretch. This Dodgers team was on fire, right? They've cooled off a little bit. They've cooled off a little bit of late. And a lot of that is the offense. A lot of that is the offense. And you look at the overall record, the Dodgers have really started to, really, I mean, they're not playing 500 ball or anything like that. They're still winning a ton of games, but 8-5 over the last 13 games. 8-5. So you look at this Dodgers team that was just on a roll, 8-5 at this point. And yeah, they won the series against the Reds. You lost the Diamondbacks yesterday. But really, the concerning part is that offense. You look at the Dodgers' OPS in that stretch towards the bottom. Batting average, 28th at .215. You look at all the offensive metrics, the offense has cooled off quite a bit, and thankfully, the pitching has stepped up in a major way. And you look at yesterday's game, just a super-duper quick and dirty recap of yesterday's game since we do the post-game show. Gavin Stone was solid. Gavin Stone was solid. My question is, what is his ceiling? And you look at yesterday's start, He got some swing and miss up in the zone. Second inning, the Diamondbacks had four straight singles off of him in the second. That led to two runs. There was a play at the plate where Gurriel slid in. It was close. It was going to be a swipe tag from Will Smith. The ball popped out. Really a decent throw by Teoscar Hernandez out in right field. A couple plays before that, Teoscar actually kind of rolled his ankle a little bit. He turned out to be just fine. So they go up early on. They score two runs in the second. Then the fourth inning, Brandon Pfaadt, I mean, he's successful against his Dodgers team. He had success against them in the NLDS when he held them scoreless through four and a third innings. And there in the fourth inning, he issued a free pass to Mookie to start it off in the top of the game. And then he goes on to retire nine straight Dodgers. So Mookie gets leadoff walk there in the first. He goes on to retire nine straight. Then Shohei Ohtani, he cranked a leadoff double there in the fourth inning. Freddie Freeman popped out. And then Will Smith at the plate. Ohtani ends up stealing third. And he was able to score due to an errant throw by Gabriel Moreno. So really nice job by Shohei Ohtani to steal this base. Just opportunistic. You see there, errant throw by Moreno. He pops up and Ohtani's in for the Dodgers' first run of the game to make it 2-1. Then later in the sixth, Christian Walker, noted Dodgers killer, he crushed a solo bomb to left to make it 4-1 D-backs. This is his 21st home run against the Dodgers of his career. Fifth inning action. Before that, in the fifth inning, they were able to get another run to make it 3-1, and then Christian Walker made it 4-1 with that solo shot. And then the sixth inning, Miguel Vargas. How about Miggy Varg ripping a leadoff double to left? You guys know I love me some Miggy Varg.
Two runs on three hits total. Vargas smacks one into left field, and it'll scoot by Gurriel long enough for Vargas to make the turn and get a leadoff double.
So Miggy Varg with that leadoff double there in the sixth, and hey, you love what you saw right there. It was his first hit in the bigs in a very, very long time. Then Ohtani, he singles to right to score Miggy Vargas. That made it 4-2. Dodgers cut that lead in half. By the way, I want to point this out. It was Ohtani's sixth time in his last 13 at-bats with runners in scoring position that had registered a hit. So six of his last 13 with risk. That narrative, it's over. He's going to come through with runners in scoring position. Then a couple batters later, Smitty, he finds the gap in right center for a two-out double. That drives in Ohtani to pull the Dodgers within one at 4-3. You're feeling good at that point. And then later, after it's a 4-1 game, after it's a 4-2 game, right, the Dodgers come back. You had the home run to Walker. Michael Grove's out there. Some guys were down, unavailable. So you had Michael Grove in the game despite the slew of lefties at the plate, and you had Carroll. He struck him out with a slider up and in for the first out. Then Marte, he singled to right to give the Diamondbacks runners on the corners with one out, and then Jock Peterson at the plate, 1-1 count, and we got some jock pop at Dodger Stadium. He hits a three-run bomb to put the Diamondbacks up 7-3.
As the former Dodger Peterson now comes to the plate with a chance to really put some hurt on L.A. That one absolutely launched. Deep to right field. Welcome back to Dodger Stadium. Jock gone like he never left. It is his sixth of the year. And the Diamondbacks now lead it 7-3.
So, yeah, Jocktober, man. Jock Peterson goes and gets a bomb. And really what kills you in that inning is Michael Grove giving up that leadoff walk to Newman. You can't walk guys to start innings, especially when you're coming out of the pen. So the Dodgers, they lose. They drop that one 7-3. You got the series finale tonight against the Diamondbacks. But all in all, it was a solid showing from Gavin Stone. Wasn't his best work. And we're going to dive into some three up, three down. Three things I like, three things I didn't like from last night's loss and also in the world of Dodger baseball. So let's start on a positive. Let's start with the up. And what I did like was seeing Shohei Ohtani steal more bases. Two more swipe bags for Ohtani last night. It was his 13th stolen base of the season on the last one. And he's already halfway to his career high. His career high in stolen bases is 26. He's already at 13. Last season, he had 20 stolen bases in 135 games. This year, he has 13 stolen bases in 13 games. No, 13 stolen bases in 49 games. His career high is 41 stolen bases. So, I mean, he's on pace for 41 stolen bases. Career high was 26. So, look, you're talking about someone who is on pace to shatter, on pace to absolutely shatter his career high. He's had 26 stolen bases once in his career. Last year, 20 in 135 games. This year, 13 in 49 games. And I asked Dave Roberts after the game about the Dodgers and how they're being more aggressive and how them stealing more bases takes this Dodgers offense to the next level and how much it raised their ceiling. And here's what Doc told me.
41 steals, Mookie, 29 steals. How much does that element just kind of raise the ceiling for this offense?
It does, because I think that, you know, if you look at our offense, there's a lot of guys that aren't really, you know, red hot right now. And so you're going to have to kind of create offense. And I think even the way the game is kind of trending, where, you know, we want dynamic players and ball in play and stealing up the bases and, you know, Shohei, Mookie, I think, are showing their more eagerness to steal more bases. And I think it's exciting for fans and obviously creates more situational opportunities as well. We had a conversation early in spring about if he was going to hit in front of Freddie, you know, my willingness to let him sort of run free in front of Freddie. And I was all in for him being aggressive and if picking the right spots to get to second base or to get to third base. So I think that that kind of was something that allowed him the freedom, obviously not worrying about pitching. So now he can just sort of just let it go, empty the tank offensively. I think that's a part of it as well. But he's on pace, you know, doing some good things on the bases. So, you know, keep hitting homers and keep stealing bases. It's going to be, it's shaping up to be a really special season.
Yeah, so Dave told me right there that not just Freddie, not just Ohtani, but also Mookie Betts. I mean, you're talking about two dynamic players at the top of your lineup. Mookie's also...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, on pace for a career year with swipe bags. He's on pace for 29 stolen bases, so... You're looking at a different dynamic, a different element that this offense didn't have. Last season, they were 19th in stolen bases. This year, they're up to 11th in stolen bases. On the season, they have 34 stolen bases. Mookie, Ohtani more active and more aggressive on the base pass. Also found it very interesting what Dave Roberts said about it being a concerted effort for Ohtani to steal more bags, for him to be more aggressive with him batting ahead of Shohei, of Freddie Freeman. And that's one of the big reasons why he's batting there in the two hole. I mean, Freddie Freeman, he had 23 stolen bases last season. He led the team, but Ohtani is a faster player in his prime that can wreak havoc on the base pass. And I think this is one of the big reasons why I trust this offense more in October, because of Ohtani, because of Teoscar, not just because of what they can do with the stick, but what they can do at the plate once they get on, after they reach first base. You can steal second base. You can steal third base. You can go first to third. And I think Dave Roberts brings up a really good point in that this offense, they're struggling right now. They're not hot. I mean, this offense is towards the bottom in the last 13 games in so many different offensive categories. So when you have other ways to generate offense, that allows your team to avoid these dry spells. So I love the fact that this team is stealing more bases. I love the fact that Shohei Ohtani is essentially improving at every single aspect of his game with the Dodgers. He is elevating his performance, not just with hitting, not just with home runs and hard contact and extra base hits, but also running the bases. And I think, too, as he pointed out, he's different in the sense that he's not pitching. So without pitching, he can focus on offense. And I'm not saying he shouldn't pitch, because you guys know how I feel about that. But I think for his first year with the Dodgers, you could look back and say, you know what? We want him to have three, four, five, six ace seasons on the mound. But for his first year, kind of rewiring himself at the plate and rewiring himself at the on the bases, it just takes him to a whole nother level. But we got some more comments down below. Orlando says, someone call Tommy Pham so we could slap Jock for us. Okay, that's a finish and a bruh.
Right
there. Come on now. Leonardo Blanco, hey, D-Mag, what do you think about Shohei bunting? I know I cringed. We talked about that late yesterday, Leonardo. And yes, it's kind of funny to see Shohei Ohtani bunting. He did reach base, but you know how I feel. If you want the dub, you've got to slug and you got the best hitter on the planet. But yeah, to see Ohtani bunting, it definitely was a shock to a lot of Dodgers fans. It's almost like you're paying for a ticket to see Michael Jordan. He gets on a fast break and he just lays it in instead of dunking, right? You want to see Ohtani leave the yard, but hey, maybe it's even more memorable to see him bunt. Michael Creo, when Mookie and Freddie don't hit, this team doesn't win. It's true. I mean, you no one can do it by themselves. You need a lineup that has different guys hot at different times, and the stats bear out a lot of truth to the fact that when Mookie doesn't run and score runs and hit with regularity, that this team does tend to struggle. But still, like, that's why you have Ohtani. That's why you have Teo. That's why the bottom of this lineup is getting an opportunity to step up. So next up for three up, three down for my down, it was a down start for Gavin Stone. Now, mind you, Stone has been rock solid for this Dodgers rotation. But is he going to be a rock star? Is he going to be someone that is in the front of your rotation, a one or two guy? I don't think that is the ceiling for him at this point. I think a really solid three at this point is something that could be in the cards for Stoner. And there were some positives, lots of positive, actually. First positive is just the fact that he goes six innings. He doesn't have his best stuff, but still he gives this team a chance to win and gives them length. Gave those four runs there. And with this team, the way they perform lately, offensively, they've had trouble scoring more than four runs in certain sequences. So I think for me, just the fact that he's gotten to that point where, hey, I can go out there, not have my best stuff, but not get pulled, not get chased, not have Dave Roberts come take the ball for me in the second or third, and then have to tax my bullpen. Because you've seen this run that they've been on, where starters are going six innings consistently with every start, that helps the bullpen for obvious reasons. You're not taxing that bullpen. You're getting length from your starting pitching. So at the very least, you get six innings out of him. I also was impressed with that four-seam fastball up in the zone. He was getting strikeouts. He was getting some swing and miss with it. He dotted that fastball in the third inning against Jock Peterson to freeze him and strike him out. He struck out Walker with a four-seam fastball up in the zone, got him to chase there. Suarez, four-seam fastball up and away in the fourth. So I think one of the big keys for Gavin Stone is just the command. If you want to be the man, you have to have the command and dotting the corners, but also changing eye levels. We saw him get chased up out of the zone, and we saw him dot it at the bottom of the zone, and that starts to set up his other pitches. Concern, though, is there was more hard contact than we've seen recently. He had 7 balls hit 99 miles per hour or more off the bat. And so far, one of the big reasons why Gavin Stone has been able to have this level of success is he's limited hard contact. He's in the 86th percentile in average exit velocity, 86.5 percentile in hard hit percentage. But when it comes to strikeout numbers, 14th percentile, 16.3% strikeout rate, 43rd percentile in whiff rate. Yesterday, one of the pros is he had more strikeouts than usual. He had 5 punchouts. He had 9 swings and misses. But you look at some of the advanced numbers, the expected FIP, the expected ERA. Expected ERA is at 4.38. Expected FIP is at 4.27. Expected batting average is at 280, which is in the 14th percentile. His BABIP is at 286. So all this is to say that he's gritted out the results and he's given the Dodgers a lot. He's provided a lot of quality depth. He's gone out there and he's had success, but a lot of the numbers point to him having some sort of a drop off as far as it evening out, some regression towards the mean. The ERA is at 360. The FIP is at 384, which is close. But you look at some of the expected numbers, they pretty much say that he is a pitcher that is around league average or a pitcher that is around a 4 ERA guy, which isn't bad at all. I mean, you're a professional when you do that. There are points last season where people didn't think that he was going to make it in the show. He's going to make it in the show. I just think when it comes to his ceiling, I think you can't expect him to be this ace-level guy. I think he's really, really solid as a number 3, 4, 5 guy. And he's given this Dodgers rotation depth when they need it the most. But last night, you started to see a little bit of that regression to the mean that I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. But still love him. I still think he can improve a lot. I still love him in that role. And you look at this Dodgers rotation. I mean, when everyone's healthy, you got Glasnow, you got Yamamoto, you got Walker Buehler, Bobby Miller, and James Paxton. So if you go to a traditional 5-man rotation during certain stretches, where does he fit in and where's the competition level? Good thing about this Dodgers rotation, this team, it kind of works itself out one way or the other, but I still think he's trending in the right direction. I still think he's had a really nice start to his season, but I think you would definitely want to see him kind of improve that command and with that changeup and get a little more swing and miss. We got a 499 super chat. Hey, Doug, any chance Max will be back for the Yankees series? His pop is definitely needed against the team that can also pop. Yeah, look, Max Muncy should be back. He looked good yesterday. He was taking ground balls at third. He was playing catch in the outfield. I didn't see any issues with him throwing. He was dealing with that oblique injury. So my guess is there's a really good chance that he's back for that series. Now, next up, next big positive is how about Miguel Vargas? Miguel Vargas, he gets a double in the sixth. He made a nice defensive play in the ninth. Thought it was really encouraging to see Miguel Vargas have that success.
A run, 2 runs on 3 hits total. Vargas smacks one into left field, and it'll scoot by Gurriel long enough for Vargas to make the turn and get a leadoff double.
So there you go. You guys know how I feel about Miggy Varg. And I think that, look, this is someone that went down to AAA, got back to his roots, kind of cleared his mind, and just went out there and proved that he still has the talent to be a prospect that deserves an opportunity, not just for any team, but even for the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that's stacked with talent. And you've seen the improvement in the outfield. You see the hit tool still looking extremely promising. So for him to have a moment early on, it's not a walk-off. Really turns out to be a meaningless hit, right, in a game they lost. But I think for him to have some success early on, not just offensively in the box, but defensively, he kind of got turned around there on that catch in left field. Just to have him have some moments where he can build some confidence, I thought it was huge. You guys feel any better about Miguel Vargas? Do you guys, I'm the leading, I have all the shares. I have more shares of Miguel Vargas stock than anyone on the planet, but does anyone want to buy some shares for me right now? Vergy balked up. That's from Steven Chavez over on YouTube. Too much pressure on Vargas last year. He looks way better this year. That's a fire take. It's a fire take from Ishmael Martinez over on YouTube. I agree 100%. I think last season, he was that guy that had the runway at second. He was that next prospect that the Dodgers really featuring in those youth movement days. And what happened? It was James Outman who got his opportunity and finished top three in the rookie of the year voting. So I agree with you. Less pressure, but also potentially less opportunities. So he's got to earn those opportunities early in his stay to, I think, maximize it. But yeah, I mean, this is a very talented hitter that could really help this team. And you need outfielders moving forward. I think the fact that he knows where he's playing, he knows his role, he knows who he is as a hitter and as someone on defense, where he's going to play. I think that helped clear his mind. And he looks like he's in a really good place. Like he's really comfortable out there. And he learned from last season. He learned from his failure. And that didn't break him, right? That did not break him. And he came up and he's looking good early on. Vargas and Lux are trade pieces from Michael Carrillo. CT3 is a waste of a roster spot from Geraldo Sanchez Jr. DMAC killer of work productivity. Sorry about that. Sorry to your bosses there, but I'll give myself a break for that one. We got I was ready to sell after that almost collision, but now I'm going to hold. That's from W. Basil. We got Michael. Dodgers called a Vargas to showcase him for trading. Michael, I'm here for those types of theories. And look, all these guys are auditioning for the 29 teams out there. All these guys, they want to be big leaguers one way or the other. So look, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for him, even if he did. I mean, look at Michael Busch. He's making the most of his opportunity in Chicago. We got Jade Camp trade Gavin Stone and Miguel Vargas for an elite closer. It depends. I mean, you're talking about like a Bednar type, a Class A type. Yeah, for guys like that, you could entertain that idea. I mean, certainly you don't want to trade your pitching depth this early with the way that arms are going down. So I'd be reluctant to give up on Gavin Stone because Gavin Stone's really helped this team. He's more calm and more comfortable. And I think that he's going to be a workhorse for this rotation for this entire season. Lawrence Jarrez, I like Gavin Stone as a number three or four in the rotation. He just had a bad night. Keep putting him out there. Exactly. And honestly, a bad night for him in 2024 is a lot better than a bad night for him in 2023, right? If a bad night for you is going six innings and giving up four runs where the run support really wasn't that good, then I think he's grown. I think he's matured. I think last night was a real good sign of his maturity. And he's someone that's had a ton of success lately. I mean, Gavin Stone has been consistently one of the more productive and reliable pitchers that the Dodgers have had with some of these injuries that they've sustained. And he's one of the big reasons why. I mean, you look at Gavin Stone. I mean, it's the first time he hadn't allowed more than two runs since April 7th, okay? It had been since April 7th, that 8-1 loss against the Cubs in Wrigley, that he had given up more than two runs. In fact, he hasn't allowed more than one run in each of his last four starts. So you will take that, especially when you're going around six innings. But yeah, I'm not too worried about Gavin Stone. I just think that it's a good problem to have. It's a champagne problem when this entire rotation gets healthy. You have to decide what you're going to do because you don't want to limit your bullpen too much and put too much pressure on the starters to go deep into games. Also, look, some of these guys, they don't like pitching once a week, right? It takes them out of a rhythm. Some of them want to pitch more frequently. But we know with Yamamoto, they're sticking to a Japanese pitching schedule as far as the NPB goes. And I think with some of these other guys, do you make them multi-inning guys like we've seen with Ryan Yarbrough? It's another option as well. Lorenzo Gaddis, $4.99 Super Chat. You get a comment of the show. Michael Busch has like 70 strikeouts already. Look, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your ups and downs. And Michael Busch certainly had that taste of early success. But we all know, Major League Baseball, it comes at you quick. It can humble you quick. It's a difficult game. Still, though, Michael Busch in 46 games, he has a 122 weighted runs created plus and seven home runs. A lot of that success did come early on. There's no doubt about that. And I think those numbers will even themselves out over time. But he has proven to hit big league pitching. And you look at his numbers in May, he kind of came down to earth. Michael Busch in the month of May, he's hitting exactly 200 in 55 at-bats with a 687 OPS. And on the month, he has one home run, one triple, and four doubles. So, yeah, he's came down to earth. There's no doubt about it. But I still think that Michael Busch is going to be a really, really solid big leaguer for years. But next one for down, I'm going the car fire at Dodger Stadium. Did you guys see the car fire? Let's look at some B-roll here. Actually, that one's the Ohtani stuff. But let's see if we can cue up that car fire clip here. But yeah, yesterday we were hanging out in the press box, and all of a sudden we see some smoke right behind the left field pavilion, and it turned out to be a car fire. Here we got some B-roll right here. You see that fire. You see that smoke. One of my favorite things about it is Dodgers organist. I don't like to throw out the word elite that often, Antonio, but Dieter Rohl is elite. He's one of the best in the game. And he starts playing, "We Didn't Start the Fire." So I thought that was really cool. And the first thing that came to mind too for me was, wait a second. I thought the Dodgers were playing the Diamondbacks and not playing the San Francisco Giants, because they don't play the Giants for a couple months. And that is a dumpster fire. So I'm not so sure what's going on with that. And maybe someone showed up, Donio, with some Giants car flags or something, and Dodger fans set it on fire. I don't know, but I was kind of bummed, though. I mean, you know, Frank McCourt probably got some of those towing fees, probably benefit a little bit from that. But, I mean, thankfully, they put it out pretty quickly. Wasn't too big of an issue. It looks like it was a Mazda SUV. Golf says must have been a Tesla. Don Kim says that car was on fire. It was crazy wild. I followed D-Mac's advice and went to parking gate C because gate C is clutch, and the car was right there. Yeah, I think. Shout out to the Dodger Stadium parking guide. That was rough, man. That was rough. You got the fire, and hopefully that person's is okay, and the car is probably not okay. That car's done, right, Donio?
Yeah, I saw a picture this morning, the aftermath. It was completely gone. Totally charred.
Totally charred?
Yeah, it's gone.
They need to, like, buy him a new car. Maybe Ohtani should get him a Porsche.
Frank McCourt should get him a car, huh?
Frank McCourt should get him a gondola. One of the two.
Oh, gosh.
Frank McCourt. No, you know, Frank McCourt's, you know, busy buying TikTok. He's going to run TikTok into the ground. He has no time for this right now. But, yeah, what were you guys' thoughts on that? Silveray with a nice burn says, that was Ipe's career. Give you a fire take for that. Shoot, Roy Estrada says, D-Mac, change your fire take to the burning car. Now, because that guy might watch our show, or that lady who drives that car might watch our show, and it might bring up some bad feelings. But screw McCourt from Doug Slayton. Don Kim says, it was a Mazda SUV. Not sure what happened to the cars parked parallel to the burning cars. Would imagine the paint damage from the heat or the interior smelled. Yeah, so people were saying that, like, the amount of gas in it, you know, they probably had $5 of the gas in or something like that. Well, how would that impact it?
I have no idea. I don't know much about cars, but...
But you know a lot about Van Halen, though.
Oh, forever. Van Halen forever.
Tony Taters loves Van Halen, for sure. But
fun fact.
D-Max, number one fan, says it's Michael Groves' car. Come on now. That's messed up. Yeah, let's talk about Michael Groves. So, next one... Actually, let's go up. A quick up right here. And next up is Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux goes 2-for-4 with a triple. Last nine games, hitting .257 with a 91 weighted runs created plus. So he's getting closer to league average. It's definitely up right now. And Dave was asked after the game about Gavin Lux and how they're going to evaluate him when he gets to those 150 plate appearances. Well, right now, I mean, he's inching closer and closer to 150 plate appearances on the season. Gavin Lux is at 128 at-bats and 137 plate appearances. So we're inching closer and closer to hearing what Dave Roberts has to say, because if you take all of his numbers at face value for the totality of his season, he's hitting .203 with a .537 OPS, a .53 OPS plus. I think that they're obviously going to consider more his recent numbers and the fact that you're seeing better swings. You're seeing a Gavin Lux that's continuing to gain confidence. That's definitely encouraging. And he's also been fantastic defensively as a second baseman. So the defense hasn't been an issue. The offense has trended in the right direction, even though it's small steps, incremental steps. You always want to focus on, you always definitely want to focus on the exit velocity. You always want to focus on that. And even on that triple yesterday had an exit velo of 88.6 miles per hour. So if anything, when it comes to Gavin Lux, they're going to probably evaluate Mookie at shortstop, right? Because if you would move Mookie off shortstop, he would immediately, theoretically, go to second base where he wanted to play. So I think that's a part of the equation. And you look at Gavin Lux compared to other second basemen in Major League Baseball. Let's kind of see how he ranks. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to evaluate him as far as how are they going to do it. I mean, is it how he looks? Is it eye test? Are they going to dive deep into the numbers? What does it mean if they want to move off of me right now? Out of 24 second basemen in Major League Baseball with a minimum of 100 plate appearances, he ranks 22nd out of 24 when it comes to weighted runs created plus at 62. And batting average, if you want to go a little more traditional with it, he's hitting .210 on the year, which is 19th out of 24. But that's the whole season. And I think the first part of the season, they're going to take that with a grain of salt and realize that, hey, this is a guy coming back from a major injury. Let's let him get his legs underneath him. Let him get him more in sync. But if you look at the last 30 days for Gavin Lux as a second baseman, he's still kind of towards the bottom in a lot of different offensive categories. So we'll see what they do. I mean, are they going to try to make a trade? Are they going to go out there and try to fill that shortstop position with an internal option? Are they going to move him off second? I still think that he's played well enough to at least buy himself more time towards the trade deadline to see if they wanted to make a move and explore something. So I don't think that they're going to make any rash decisions right now because he is still at least showing signs of life. I mean, he's had a couple triples. He had a big double in the Giants series. So if you're asking, is he improving? Is he getting better offensively? The answer is yes. Has he caught fire? The answer is no. So it just really depends on what their expectations are for that position. Because look, 1 through 9, not every guy is going to be an all-star hitter. But there is somebody who said about reliable defense. He's a plus on defense. He just hasn't proven to be a plus bat. If he becomes a plus bat and a plus defender, then you have something. Right now, even with the improvement that he has made, you can't say that he's a plus bat. So let's see if he can get to that level. And that's just a factual, unbiased take and evaluation based on his numbers at the moment. Now, next down, Michael Grove. So Michael Grove did not have his best night. Michael Grove had really, really performed well lately. Michael Grove was really going out there one inning, taking advantage. You saw big strikeout numbers. Last night, though, was not his best night. He goes in there in the seventh against a lot of left-handed bats. Carol Marte, who's a switch hitter, Jock Peterson, walks Newman, gives up the bomb to Jock Peterson. So, yeah, unfortunately, a little bit of a setback. But one thing I want to make clear, and I think Michael Grove has a future in this league. I truly think that he has shown enough this season to say, you know what, this guy's a legitimate big leaguer. This guy is going to help either the Dodgers or a team in Major League Baseball in that role. One inning, go out there with a nasty slider, mix in the curveball, and then hit your spots with a mid-90s fastball, right? That you can pump up to 96, 97 occasionally, right? That's going to play. But if you're hot and bothered about yesterday's loss, I don't have to tell you because Michael Grove is not going to be out there in October in the NLDS, NLCS, or the World Series against the top and the meat of the lineup, especially against left-handed hitters, right? You're never going to see that, right? You might not see him there in that role at all, but you're definitely not going to see them in that spot, in that situation. So there's that. And then will you see Gavin Stone out there starting a big-time postseason game? Probably not, right? Well, Miguel Vargas being left, even though he had success, probably not. And if he does, that means he had a really...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Great season. It's a good problem to have. So I think it's important to remember that we shouldn't get too hot and bothered about games in the regular season that you lose when the reason you did lose is not going to be a reason you're going to lose when it matters most. So let's not forget that. But coming up next, we got a big update on Bo Bichette. Is Bo Bichette going to be traded this season? Well, we got an update on that coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live. What up, Dodgers Nation? D-Mag here. I'm here to remind you that if you have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel for all latest Dodgers news, rumors, hype videos, interviews, breakdowns, live streams, and more all year long. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. And if you really want to help the channel out, smash that like button. Also, you will not be eligible for any of our giveaways unless you are subscribed to the channel. So all you need to do to be eligible for all of our giveaways is just make sure that you are subscribed. We just gave away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey valued at over $350. And we got tons of giveaways coming this offseason. So be sure to be subscribed so you are eligible to win. And as always, think blue, bleed blue, and please subscribe. Welcome back to Dodgers Dugout Live. By the way, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Comment Go Ohtani so you're eligible for our giveaway, a road gray Shohei Ohtani jersey. This is the same jersey he's wearing in the bobblehead that they only had 1,700 of them, 1,700 of the 40,000 last week when they gave away this bobblehead. They were the road gray, and those are the ones that are fetching $2,000, $3,000. So definitely the road gray is hot on the streets. By the way, I got the latest bobblehead. We got the Mookie Betts bobblehead, really cool yesterday. His mom threw out the first pitch instead of throwing it. She bowled it. I don't know if you guys saw that. I thought that was really funny. Let's do a quick grade of this bobblehead. I thought they did a really good job. I like the fact that clearly they made this when he was at second base, so he's in the infield position. But the details of this are really cool. I mean, you got the Jordans that he's wearing. These are like the Jordan 10s. You see, it's the Jordan 10 design. The socks, I thought it'd be, you might want to add the palm trees there, but he's wearing his socks. The show chains, he's wearing the chain that his dad gave him, the gold one, and the bat and ball chain, the bat and ball necklace that the kid gave him a couple years back when he was in Boston. And the glove, he's wearing his custom Wilson glove. So that's pretty cool. You got the little facial hair, little 5 o'clock shadow. I think it's a really good bobblehead. I'd grade this one as the 50 of the Dodgers. The details are nice. The Guggenheim patch, when I see that, I think $1.2 billion. I'm going to give this bobblehead a B-plus for Betts. Only reason I get a B-plus is he didn't get like the really cool custom box I mean, it's cool, but it's not the really cool one that Ohtani got, which is back here with all the artwork, kind of the anime cartoonish artwork, but still really cool. I'm giving it a B+. How about you, Tony Taters? Donio, what do you give the bobble?
Here, let me see. Can you put it? Let me see that again.
You can see, you can't touch.
I can't touch.
You,
but
no, you can touch. Here you go. Check it out. Drop it for sure and break it though.
I mean, it looks all right. I mean, it kind of looks like, I mean, I don't think it looks much like Mookie, but I like someone in the comments said his neck looks a little too thick, golf grouch. I kind of agree with that, but I think it looks cool though. It's pretty chill.
Grade?
Oh yeah. I'll give it a solid 80% B.
80% B. How about you, buddy? Oh. Buddy's one of our esteemed writers here.
Yeah, man. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah, I don't really like
big Celtics fans. Oh, heck no.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a B too for Betts, man.
B for Betts. I think
Antonio went 80. I'm gonna go 85.
Yeah, that's solid right there.
How about you, Mr. Cameras? What do you give the bobblehead? A C? Wow.
It doesn't look like it.
So the kids would say it's mid. C, right? That's what you would say. Isn't C average? Mid? Is that how that word works? Okay. I give it a B+. I think it's nice. We got some comments here. Let me know. We got some grades. Seriously, let me get that bobblehead. There you go. Tony's going to drop it and break. It's all good. We have a Freddy here too. We got the MV3, but we got Mookie's chin beard is too thick. Doug Slayton, Van Halen or Van Hagar? Doug Slayton. We got big Van Halen fans. We got question. What is your outlook on Páez? For me, his strikeouts at 28.2%, only 3% walk rate. I like his power a lot. He's overly aggressive at bats. Teoscar has a 30% strikeout rate. Yes. So look, you're seeing a young hitter that's flashed and shown the potential. He hits the ball hard, though. The hard contact is there. You do want to see him take some more walks and strike out a little less, but you also don't want to lose any of that power. So look at the year that James Altman had last season with 23 home runs, played well in center field. He put together a 4-WAR season. So you don't want these guys to sacrifice any of that power or what makes them special, but Páez definitely... I mean, the strikeout rate's 16th percentile. The sweet spot rate's definitely high. I still think that we're maybe a month away from a true sample of what we have in Andy Páez. Oh, man, look, I said we. True fanboy saying right there. But before we head out, got to give you an update on Bo Bichette. So before the show, Mark Feinsand, MLB Insider, he dropped a piece, an early trade deadline update piece, and he said about Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he writes, it seems inconceivable that the Blue Jays, who have entered the past few seasons with great expectations, could trade either Bo Bichette and or Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but given Toronto's 21-25 start and the competitive state of the AL East, one AL executive believes it's possible the Jays could move on from both of their superstars this summer. I don't think they're opposed to it, the executive said. They've talked to teams about it. They asked were ridiculous, but I think they're going to try to retool a lot, and using those guys to get pieces may be the way to do it. So that's major. The fact that not the executives thinks they would trade him, not that Mark Feinsand thinks they could be traded, the fact that they've had communication with other teams, just the asking price was extremely high. The asking price was ridiculous because, look, every single team, when you start negotiations, you get the lowball offer from the team that wants the player, and you get the ridiculous asking price from the team that has the player. So when the trade is consummated, it takes a long time, and you don't see trades every single day because there's a lot of negotiating that takes place. And if this is any indication of Bo Bichette truly becoming available, well, if the Dodgers enter the mix, they have the prospect capital to get a deal done. It's just a matter of, are you willing to give up multiple top 10 prospects? Are you willing to get into a bidding war with another team that wants Bo Bichette? Because, look, if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, Bo Bichette, he's been an all-star. He's been someone that has proven to be one of the best hitting shortstops in the sport, but he is having himself a down year. So, from a stock standpoint, you can't say that his stock is as high as it's ever been, but he does have a track record. He's just 26 years old. He has a couple years of team control left. He's under team control through the 2025 season. And you look at his numbers on the year in 44 games, he's hitting .226 with a 77 weighted runs created plus. But last year, he hit .306. Year before that, he hit .290. He's consistently been throughout his career someone who's hovered between a .123 to .130 weighted runs created plus. And from a power standpoint, he had 29 home runs in 2021, 24 in 2022, 20 in 2023. And he also is someone that can go gap to gap. He can get you doubles. He can get you extra base hits. So, yeah, he's a very intriguing target if he truly becomes available. Yes, his defense is around league average to below average, depending on when you look. But he does make the routine plays. He is a big league shortstop, right? It wouldn't be an experiment to have Bo Bichette as your shortstop. And you also look at some of his Statcast metrics, and he's in the 80th percentile on hard hit percentage, 87th percentile on strikeout rate, 84th percentile on whiff rate. So he's not swinging and missing a ton. He doesn't have a high strikeout rate, but you want to see the hard contact increase. But look, he's in a bad situation in Toronto, and he clearly isn't having success there. With the Dodgers batting in this lineup, can you imagine that kind of protection? I think that's a very intriguing possibility if the Dodgers are looking for a long-term solution at shortstop, if they don't want to give Gavin Lux another opportunity, or they feel that maybe Mookie Betts should go back to second or go back to right field if it's a little too taxing for him. So I think it's all fluid. I think yesterday something that really stood out to me was Mookie was doing his ground ball work. He was doing his infield work with Dino Ebel, with Miguel Rojas, and you saw him focusing on the backhand. He was making the throws. He looked good for sure. But then he came back out and did more infield. He did more work. And that really, you have to figure it's going to take its toll at some point. So far, hasn't bled into his offense. But still, I think that, man, Bo Bichette's intriguing. Let's just throw it out there. Just going to give you guys the update. Bo Bichette, it looks like he's going to be traded. And another thing, too, Buster Olney on ESPN's Baseball Tonight podcast, Buster Olney, big friend of the show, Buster said that industry sources have told him that it's extremely unlikely that Bo is going to re-sign or sign extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. So they're not going to just let him walk for nothing. And the longer you keep him, the less you're going to get for him. So, hey, I'm definitely open to the idea. But let me know down below in the comments section. Craig Osterberg, Dino will someday make a good manager. Yeah, he's such a baseball junkie, a great baseball mind. We got to Blau K. I believe the Dodgers need four players by the end of the trade deadline. Tyler O'Neill, CJ Abrams, Paredes, and a top available starting pitcher not named Verlander. I'll answer that tomorrow because we got some more trade talk on Trade Talk Thursday for sure. We got JT showing his age now. We got some comments over here from Bilal K. If the Dodgers' goal is to raise Lux's value so as to maximize a trade, I'm all for it. But the fact is that they're not likely to fool a team into believing that Lux is more than what you see. Matthew Franco, appreciate that super chat. $9.99. Thank you so much. Sup, D-Mac. Which relievers do you think the Dodgers will go after before or at the trade deadline? Also, Rojas should be starting at shortstop and Betts at second. I'm over the Lux experiment. Rojas is hitting right now. It makes you wonder, could Rojas sustain what he's doing if he was in an everyday role? Probably you'd see a decline in his numbers. Would he play that position defensively at a top 5 to 10 level? I think absolutely he would. But would he get injured? How would that factor in as far as the wear and tear? You lose him as a depth piece, right? So those are kind of the things that you look at when you're deciding, hey, do we go and make such a rash decision? I think they want to keep Miguel Rojas as a depth piece and not have him thrusted into everyday starter's role. And I think it comes down to Mookie Betts. Let's be clear about this. Whatever Mookie wants, he gets. If Mookie still wants to play shortstop and he thinks he's doing it and getting it done at an adequate level, they're probably going to give him that opportunity. But I think at some point, once they feel like they have a big enough sample size, they're going to meet with Mookie and they're going to discuss and evaluate how he's performed at the position and how sustainable it is. So I think we're still in the, like I said a couple of days ago, if you shake the magic eight ball, it's still an ask me later mode. But as far as the relievers go, you guys know how I feel about Tanner Scott. I still think the Marlins are going to be sellers. Mason Miller, he has been the player, the reliever that everyone wants to see in Dodger Blue that watches this show. He's been outstanding. We talked about Manuel Clase in the offseason. The Guardians are having a really, really good year. I mean, Ryan Helsley for the Cardinals having a really good year. They're not having a lot of success. So it really kind of just depends really on who's going to be available that's not on a contender, that's on an expiring contract. Those are always the parameters when it comes to the Dodgers and relievers, right? You don't want to spend big for a reliever. You don't want to give up too many top prospects because of the volatility of that position. So can you get some of those guys on the cheap that are still effective and are having a really good year? We're going to do a top five trade targets for relievers tomorrow. So we're going to drop that. So be on the lookout for that. But that's going to do it for this. Are y'all serious on keeping Lux? Y'all not serious on keeping Lux? We got from Jingo Star, I miss Seager, third base. He's going to be in the trade. So we got some Lux talk. We'll continue this tomorrow, guys. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. We'll also talk about Andre Lipsius on tomorrow's show. But jam-packed show tomorrow, tonight, post-game show, right after the show. Be on the lookout for that. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. For producer Tony Taters, be sure to follow him on Instagram and Twitter as well. He's always rounding up your comments, doing an elite job for sure. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Comment Go Tony down below. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on NoomLife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad stretch. Feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.